morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, or whenever you're choosing to listen to this podcast. Welcome back to the first episode of 2020 for the Wake Up with Jesus and Coffee podcast. Again, I'm your host, Hannah Forrester. We're so excited to be back. And as you may have all heard, we have an intro song. I'm so excited about it. That intro song was actually written and recorded by my wonderful husband, which you've heard him. We've had him here on the podcast before, Matt Forrester. So excited just to start fresh and to start a new year. And speaking of a new year, the holidays definitely were not too far behind us. The coffee that I'm drinking today, actually it's the last pod that I have of this coffee, and it was the coffee that my secret Santa from our office gave me. She did a wonderful job, and she definitely knows me way too well. The coffee that she gave me is actually EcoPods, which I'd never heard of them before, which is surprising for me, but it's from a company called Cameron's. It's a specialty coffee company. It's the flavor she got me was chocolate caramel brownie, which is delicious. And Cameron's, their pods are 100% compostable. So the lid, the ring, everything, the filter, it's all 100% eco-friendly. Of course, there's no plastic involved. And actually, compared to the plastic, you know, Keurig cups that you normally use, I can actually taste it. It's actually more fresher with the mesh bottom of the pod instead of the plastic. So anything that helps keep my coffee more fresh, but also is super wonderful for our environment, I'm all for. So definitely check out Cameron's. I think you can buy it in the grocery store. She just picked it up. I think at Lidl is what she told me. But it's from a coffee company in Minnesota. So I'll try and find their website online and I'll link it in the description below. So I'm sure by reading the title of this podcast, you can assume what it's going to be about today. New year, new me. So of course, we're talking about resolutions. We're talking about, of course, that phrase that we see all over social media or in our office spaces. But what exactly does it mean as a Christian to have a New Year's resolution or resolutions? And that's something I wanted to dig in further into today. And as Christians, we naturally put things into two camps. One camp would be, you know, we believe in making resolutions, and on January 1st, we've got a list, and we don't see anything wrong with it, you know, because when we make those resolutions, we're being motivated to make some sort of change or betterment. Or we're in a camp where we think it's a waste of time, or even it's unbiblical. And to be honest, it's actually a little bit of both. So when I was first thinking about this topic and researching it, I came across this Ask Pastor John segment for the Desiring God podcast. So to stop right there, if you've never heard of John Piper or his website Desiring God or even his book Desiring God, I highly recommend that you check it out. He's a wonderful theologian, and he's just a great resource after you've dug into the scriptures and done your personal study, just to go back and to read some commentaries. So someone actually asked him this question on one of his podcast segments. They asked, are resolutions bad? And of course, this person was asking from a Christian standpoint. And Pastor John took this approach, which I really loved, and he answered the question by saying this, quote, if you mean declarations of what you intend to do by dint of willpower, then that will not only probably fail, but if it doesn't fail, it is not Christian either. So if it fails, it fails. And if it succeeds, it fails. Because that is not what a Christian life is. And he goes on to say, it is not lived by that way. Not at the beginning of the year, not at the beginning of the day, or the beginning of an hour. You don't screw up your willpower to obey a command and resolve to do a thing by virtue of strong resolution and call that Christianity. It is not. And then he furthermore goes on to say this, the mystery of holiness is we live our lives in the strength of another, which is Christ. So let's stop right here and let's examine what exactly he's saying. John Piper is not saying that it's wrong to have resolutions or to make resolutions at all. He's simply saying that if you are going to make these resolutions, if you've already decided to rely on your own willpower, meaning we're just relying on our strength and our strength alone to make what we're striving for to happen, we will fail. And that is not the outlook of the Christian life. As Christians, we rely solely on the Holy Spirit that lives within us to give us the power and the wisdom to do what needs to be done so that we don't get the glory, but another, namely God, gets the glory through us. And I love reading the works of Paul just because he exemplified this in everything that he did for the work of the gospel. He writes in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Y'all, if that don't give you chills, I don't know what does, because that right there, that just sums it up, how we're supposed to live our lives as a Christian and how we're supposed to view everything and every situation that we do. And I'm definitely guilty of this because I do not act that way. And again, Paul is not saying, look at me, look what I've been able to do because I've decided to make this change or how strong I am and I have been able to accomplish it. No, he's fully giving all of the credit to God and God alone. So before we go too far, I did want to mention something that was also in the blog post and then also in the podcast episode for the Ask Pastor John. So he talks about two verses in the Bible in 2 Thessalonians. He says, so everybody should go through and get their Bibles and study these two verses and they will have a theology of resolution. And he says that these two Bibles are the most important two verses in the Bible on New Year's resolutions. So 2 Thessalonians 1:11 through 12. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. And then Pastor John goes on to say from this verse, this is how we get the theology for New Year's resolutions. And I'll link below the podcast that's actually written out, the transcript of it, and he's got it in bullet points. It says, you should resolve for good. Resolve good things in your life. Next bullet point. This is pursued by faith, so that it is a work of faith. Next bullet point. God acts through that faith by his power. Next bullet point. Thus, God fulfills the good resolve. And then the final bullet point, thus Jesus gets glory. So to encapsulate all of that, we should always be resolving for good, and this is pursued by faith, so it's not a work of our own, it's a work of faith. God acts through that faith by his power, not our power, his power. Thus God fulfills the good resolve, and thus Jesus gets the glory. And this leads us to our next point, which is why. The why behind why we are making these resolutions. So I'm going to try not to get too much on a soapbox here. can very easily do that, especially when it comes to this next topic. But, and when I say this, I'm including myself, because this is something that I struggled with greatly, especially younger and in my teenage years. But women especially, we tend to struggle with finding our self-worth and finding it and measuring up against others. We tend to judge ourselves against those around us, even especially our friends. So we'll see our friends and we think, oh, look how pretty she is, or, you know, look what they're doing that I'm not doing, or look how many cool clothes she has. Or even worse, we start scrolling through Instagram or Facebook, you know. 15 years ago, we had magazines that we could flip through and we would see all these beautiful models. And we were constantly thinking, wow, why can't I be like that? So we internalize those things and we end up basing our resolutions and our goals not on something that we originally wanted to fulfill in ourselves, but so that we can measure up to those people that we see in the magazines or the friends that we think that have it all together. So we may say, you know, I'm going to hit the gym and start working, you know, out more so that I can have abs that look like hers, or I can fit into a size 2 like she does. And again, ladies, I'm speaking to myself. I'll admit I was a little bit guilty. Not a little bit. I was a lot bit guilty. Of this exact thing not too long ago myself, with measuring myself up to others. And I do want to say there's nothing wrong with wanting to be healthier or work out or even work harder so that you can get a promotion at your job or a bonus. But if that becomes all we're about and we're just working just for that, we're missing the point completely. And the difference really lies in the heart behind it all, which goes back to the why. So if we're a Christian, we're going to make resolutions, or we should be making resolutions that are kingdom-centered and not self-centered. Your heart in wanting to lose weight and get healthy shouldn't be to look just like those girls in the magazines or on Instagram. Or you wanting to get a promotion in your job shouldn't be all about, you know, you making more money over the next person sitting in the office beside you. Whereas our resolutions need to be more of goals where we can use it to further the kingdom and where God gets the glory and not us. Before we move on to the last few points I wanted to touch in this topic, I wanted to reveal something that God really convicted me of just even this past year. Something I struggled with greatly in 2019 that He's just now opened my eyes to, some things that I needed to repent of and some things that I needed to trust in Him more instead of going to the what ifs and the anxieties of it all. So just to give you a little background, with my job, I'm in a high stress sales position. It's commission only, which only adds to the stress. And every morning we get a list of all of the people in our office and the surrounding offices in our market center. It has what we funded year to date, what our projected is that month, what we've got in our pipeline, all of that. And then it has everyone from first to last, basically, in this list. And so every morning last year, about every morning, I would wake up, I would get to my email, it would be the first email I get to, and I'd pull it up and I'd analyze, okay, where am I today? And then I'd say, okay, where is everyone else? How can I get to where she is or where he is? And I understand why they released that, and it can be healthy for some, but for me, it just became obsessive, and it got to a point where I wasn't using it as a good tool to better my business, I was obsessing over, okay, well, she's got this many loans this month, but I only have this many loans. And I would just get so anxious and bundled up with just a ball of anxiety. And it got to a point where it started to greatly interfere with my job, so much so that I would just stress over and really just kill myself over the what ifs instead of just taking every day and just saying, okay, what do I have today? And let's just go with that. So much so that the months where I was doing this obsessively were some of my worst months. But the months that I barely even glanced at the list at all ended up being some of my greatest months last year. And through all of this and just seeking God's word more, He revealed to me that, you know, Hannah, I gave you this job for a reason. I put you here for a purpose. The company I work for is a faith-based company. Most of my coworkers are Christians. I can freely share the gospel with my clients and people that I meet in my everyday life, whereas most people don't have the freedom that I have with that. And the verse that really just kept coming to mind was Acts 20:24, where Paul says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace." So, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many loans I sell, if I'm number one in our company, or, you know, it. What matters at the end of the day is what I've been doing in my race for God and furthering His kingdom. So the last thing I wanted to touch on very briefly was that phrase, new year, new me. Again, you hear it everywhere. I believe personally that this can be more harmful than helpful, especially when we look through it through a biblical lens. So most of the time when we hear that phrase, new year, new me, usually it's someone saying that they've got this idea in their head that just because it's a new calendar year, that it's automatically time for a new start, and that everything in their life just kind of stops at December 31st at 12 p.m. and kind of starts over again January 1st the next year. And I'm very guilty of doing this. I made a resolution this year. I've made several that I have very much already broken, I'll just say. Very much so. Didn't last even the week, which is usually what happens with the majority of us, including myself, who make those resolutions. And the reason that we usually fail at making these resolutions, or, you know, we might succeed a little bit, but then it drops down probably at least by halfway through the year, is because we're not taking the time to figure out why are we having to make this change? And better yet, what are we having to do differently that we weren't doing in this prior year so that we can be a different person in this new calendar year? I liked the example of, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. You know, if you go to the gym and you work out a lot and you sweat and you get all smelly, if you take off the stinky, sweaty clothes, but you didn't shower and you just put on clean clothes, you're not masking the stench. You're still gonna stink. And so as Christians, the Bible shows us that the way we don't stink is through constant communication with our Savior and seeking holiness. And that's through confession of our sins and recognizing our sins. So just to lead it back to His word, in Proverbs 28:13, it says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." And then going on in 1 John 1:9-10, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not within us. So in closing, as we enter this new year, my biggest prayer is that as Christians, we don't fall to this world's idea of new year, new me, and making resolutions just because it's January 1st. But that we would be as a people who would daily seek holiness through confession, and we become a people who make resolutions 365 days a year, not just at the start, but continually, relying on the one who gives us strength and confessing our sins and coming clean to him. So that we can be quote-unquote new me's. Thank you so much just for listening and tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. And make sure to look out for new episodes coming out very soon. And as always, don't forget to wake up with Jesus and coffee. Until next time.